Tonight I'm going to talk to you about discretion, a key word in the book of Proverbs. Now, all of these words that I've given you, wisdom, and remember, get out your pens, because we always believe that God says something smarter than me, all right? Because he knows your situation, and he knows what you need to hear more than I do. And he's going to say something to you, and he's going to prompt your heart. See, that's how we know God is real. He's going to say something to you in the tenderness of your heart that's for you, because he loves you enough to tell you what you need to hear. And if you don't write it down, you're going to forget it. And you're going to want to forget it. So write it down, because you shouldn't forget it. All right? Now stay with me. So we talked about wisdom. These are the words in Proverbs. I read through my proverb yesterday. It was interesting because it talked about discretion in Proverbs 5. It was very, I'm like, we're talking about that. These are the words you're going to read about in Proverbs over and over and over and over. Wisdom, instruction, discernment, knowledge, discretion, and understanding. So tonight is on discretion. I want to start with you with the definition of discretion, and they're on your notes. So go ahead and take some notes, highlight some things, get ready for Holy Spirit to show you something. Discretion is the ability to make responsible decisions. Underline the word the ability. You cannot have discretion on your own. He is your ability. When I make a wise decision, when I have discretion, when I say, I won't go there, I won't say that, I won't do that, it's because I have the ability of the Holy Spirit in me, prompting me, teaching me, putting a watchman over my mouth, O Lord, guard the door of my lips. That's Holy Spirit who is my prompter. He makes me able, ability, he makes me able to do what I should do that I can't do on my own. So the ability to make responsible decisions. Look with me in 1 Kings 3:1. Now this is where it starts. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh. Underscore the word alliance. Whenever you start to make an alliance with someone you shouldn't make an alliance with, an agreement with, a deal with, just know that the enemy's behind it. Now, here's what's interesting. This is at the beginning of 1 Kings. So this is the beginning of Solomon's reign. Because after this is what we've seen. He built the temple and he's walking with God, but he let a little kink in his armor come in. He let a little persuasion come in that he shouldn't have, and you're going to see that in a minute. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her into the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the walls around Jerusalem. Now note that, because we're going to come back to it. You're going to have to look and see what's the kink in your armor. Where did you make an alliance that you shouldn't have? Where did you make an agreement or bargain with someone you shouldn't? Let's go on. A little later in 1 Kings chapter 11, it says this. Solomon's wives, King Solomon, it says, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. He loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. So it tells us in chapter 3, he had Pharaoh's daughter. Now in chapter 11, all of a sudden, he's bringing in all of these other wives. He's bringing in all of these other women, right? It says he brought in the Moabites, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Sidonites, and the Hittites. And let's listen to what it says. They were from nations about which the Lord had told Israel, listen, because God's going to say something to you. You're going to say, how did I get here, God? And he's going to turn around and he said, because you wanted to go there. You got there because you wanted to go there. Here's what God said. From the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after their own gods. He already said, don't intermarry with these foreign women because they're going to woo your heart. There's something you're going to want. There's something you're going to lust after. They're going to something you're going to see and you're going to think, if they've got it, I've got it too. God already tells us what not to do. I don't know why we seem to think that we can get in the situation and then ask God, how did I get here? He lays it out. But look what it says here. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. God said, don't intermarry with them. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast, and he had 700 wives of royal birth, 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. Underline that. Now, we can talk about, well, that's a lot of women. That's a lot of opinions. It's not about the wives. It's about how many foreigners he brought into his life. How many foreigners are you bringing into your life? How many foreign ways of thinking? People that don't think the way you think, act the way you act, have convictions the way you... I guarantee you, if you start making a list, we've all got 700 of them. Because they're people that we let come into our life, open our minds and our thoughts. Well, can't we all just get along? Don't we live in a day that we should just tolerate everything? I mean, gosh, isn't God love? And before long, I've let every foreign thought in. Now, if you know me, you know I'm about love, and I am about loving everybody, and I'm about, well, I've always said I want to be a woman that people said, man, there was no doubt she loved me. But I know where to have, we're going to talk about in a minute, boundaries and non-negotiables and convictions. And the problem with the church today, and I'll pick on the church, but the problem with most of us today is we have allowed foreign alliances to come into our life. We are swayed, the Bible says, to and fro, back and forth by every wind. The enemy doesn't like me talking like this, so he's going to try to, so just listen even harder. We're just going to get back with him because this is going to get good. And before long, you find yourself, well, I don't know. Well, maybe. Are you with me? Do you see what Solomon did? He brought in women who enticed him and made him think differently. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after their gods, and their heart and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. He followed after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonites, and Molech, the detestable, god of the Amorites. Now listen, so Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. And man, today in my prayer walk, I said, you know, God, I have been fired up for you. I love you. I know when I'm with you, I've had personal encounters with you. But God, I want to stay on fire. I want to end well. I want to know that in my latter years, I'm closer to you than I am in my former years. Are you with me? Do you know that if you're not constantly keeping yourself focused on the things of God, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get busy. It's so easy to say, oh, not tonight, maybe next week, not this time, maybe later. And it's so easy for us to get ourselves talked out of the things of God. And let me show you why. This is so good, you guys. Now, I want to show you, this is, we read the story of Solomon in 1 Kings in the Bible, but I want to parallel a proverb with you so you can see a little bit of Solomon's heart, because I think you're going to begin to read Proverbs differently now that you know a little bit of Solomon's story, because his Proverbs were written out of the situations of his life. They're written out of his story. We're looking at Solomon's story. We all have a story, but listen what he writes, and you have it there in Proverbs 7. I believe this is the great setup. And listen, the enemy wants to set you up. The enemy wants you to fall. He wants you to fail. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants to tempt you. He wants to discourage you. And he's constantly, I said this last week, Pastor Phil said it, and when it hit, he said it hit me. Satan doesn't ever feel sorry for you. He doesn't ever say, you know, she's had enough. I'm going to give her a little break. He will ride you like ugly on an ape. He will just ride you hard. And if you start to get weak, he's going to ride you harder. It's when you're strong that he can't be strong in you. It's when God's strength is in you that he cannot be strong in you. And believe me, when you get weaker, he prays after us when we're weak. And we're going to see that because that's what happened in Solomon's life. He brought in all these foreign gods. He started justifying all these things because of his love, lust for women. And we're going to see that right here in Proverbs 7, the downfall of Solomon. And I can just see this played out. Listen to this. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice. I saw among the simple, and I noticed young men, a youth who had no sense. Now, underline it. When you get in the Word of God and you take enough time to really read it and see what Holy Spirit's saying to you, Satan is praying. Here's all these guys, but he sees one with no sense. And there are times when we are double dumb. Yes. That's when you do the same thing over and over and over. And you're like, I've done this so many times and I said I wouldn't do it again. He is praying on this person right here. Look what it says. A youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. No sense. He has no business to be near her house on her corner. You have no business to be certain places that you don't have enough strength to say no to. Whatever your temptation, look, I'm gonna get tough tonight. But if you have a problem with food, then you stay out of the junk food aisle. Look, I know it, all right? If you have a problem with lust, you stay off of porn sites. If you have a problem with anger, you stay away from people that fuel your anger. If you don't know your own weakness, you are your worst enemy. Wow. Don't blame everybody else for your mistakes. What are you doing on that corner? So as quick as we want to talk about the harlot and the prostitute, let me let you get in the scripture. See, when I read the word of God, it's like God says, that's you, girlfriend, and you get a choice. And every time I read this, I think, Tammy, get off that corner. You can't handle that. You have a weakness there. If I have a weakness with jealousy, or if I have a weakness with anger, if I have a weakness with insecurity, or whatever my thing is, get off the corner. And he was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night was setting in. He waited till it was dark so he could hide. You can't hide from God. You can't ever hide from God. You can't run from God. We think we'll go at night when no one sees us. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with a crafty intent. This is Satan. Dressed like what I want. This was a young boy looking for a good time. So she's dressed the way he wants, and she has an intent to get him. Satan says, I'll come disguised however you want me to come disguised. You need to throw a little anger, you get a temper tantrum here right now, Tammy? Go ahead. I mean, is that in you and you need to get it out? Let me show you how to do that. And it'll throw me a curveball of somebody that just really makes me mad. And of course, I want to blame them when it's my issue. When it's my issue, because I'm standing on the corner, because right now, man, my big thing, and I said this to my staff, I'm like right now working so hard to pull off this conference and with all our staff, and we're working around the, and that's why I have to go to the park. I'm smart enough to know if I don't go let off some steam, if I don't get Holy Spirit filling me up, I'm going to act and react and respond in ways I shouldn't. I'm smart enough at this season of my life to know what I need to do in the areas because he is on the corner looking for me. She is unruly and defiant. She's Satan. Let her be whoever that is for you. Now, this is Solomon writing this. He's saying, this is the woman I have to deal with because of my issues. It started off with foreign alliances I brought in, so I'm sure he wanted an empire. We're talking about a king, and this is how he's going to rule his empire. And so he started bringing in all the pretty women because he wanted the country. See, I understand the concept, but let's get past the concept and say, what foreign wives are you bringing in? Because you want alliances in areas you shouldn't be. When God already said, don't do it. And yet we want to make an alliance. Now in the street, now in the square, now on every corner she lurks. Listen, she took hold of him and kissed him. With a brazen face, she said, oh man, this is so powerful. Today I fulfilled my vows and I have food for my fellowship offering at home. Now, when I read that, man, conviction fell over. This is a harlot. This is a prostitute. It already tells us. She's gone and she's made her sacrifice at the temple. This is what they did. And she had a little food left over. So she's in, listen, this is good. Someone needs to hear this. She is using her sacrifice to allure and entice someone. Wow. See, your sacrifice is what you give to God. What is God's that you're giving to somebody else? What is God's that he gave you as a sacrifice that you are alluring someone else and you're using it for something else? This is powerful stuff. Man, this is powerful stuff. She says, today I fulfilled my vow. I have food for my fellowship offering at my home. So I came out to meet you and I looked for you and I have found you. Satan, the Bible says, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Don't ever think he doesn't know you. Don't ever think he doesn't know your weakness, because you carry it around with you. Now, he is not God, and he does not know all things. He is not omnipresent. That means he can't be everywhere at all times. And he's not omniscient. He can't know everything. Only God can. But Satan is a spirit, the Bible says, going to and fro. And do you know you carry your weakness on your sleeve? I mean, a lot of us know it. So if we know it, you don't think Satan knows it? I mean, I know a lot of your weaknesses. Come on, girlfriend. I can tell it. And you know mine too. You know where I might struggle a little and I'm tempted a little. And if you listen to somebody long enough, most of us confess it. It doesn't take a whole lot, right? So Satan goes, I kind of see that in her. I think I'm going to bring this along and that along and a little this along. Because all he wants to do is distract and destroy. Distract and destroy. Distract and destroy. That's his plan for your life. And he is waiting on the corner for you to come. I looked for you and I found you. And look what she says. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. What's the first verse we started with? Solomon made an alliance with the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Boy, when I read that. Because I believe this is him writing about his situation. I believe that he's saying to us, here she was, and she laid all of this. Listen to this. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloe and cinnamon. Come, let us drink deeply of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with my love. That's what Satan says. Tammy, you want to feed that? You know what? Let me tell you, I'm going to be honest. It feels good to feed my flesh. I mean, we know it physically when we feed ourselves the foods we shouldn't eat, and they're just, we call them comfort foods. Why do you think they're called comfort foods? Because they're feeding our flesh. Isn't it true? And man, look, hey, I eat popcorn at the show just like you. Nothing. I'm not saying there's any. You're going to go home and go, man, I'm not going there again. I don't want to eat. All right? But do you see, I'm trying to take you a spiritual. This isn't the physical. It is, but it's spiritual, right? So she's saying right here, all of these things they did, I perfumed, I this, I that, come let us. I want you to enjoy my love. So I thought, as I was reading through this, I thought, you know, the enemy wants to bring me in and let me enjoy and love the thing that isn't good for me. He wants me to enjoy that. And there are times I do. Because it's my flesh enjoying my flesh. Does that make sense to you? And if you've not had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and if you don't really know what it means to be filled with God's love, then you may not know what I'm talking about, because you say, is there anything other than that? Yes, there is. Because the Bible says when I'm crucified with my flesh, when I crucify my flesh, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith. See, guys, we're talking two different worlds. I mean, this message you don't hear everywhere, guys. You don't. Because most of us want to stroke our flesh. And it feels good, but the problem is you're going to end up just like this. And you're going to end up still wanting when you're done. Let's go on and see. He goes on and says, my husband was not at home. He has gone away on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home until a full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray, and she seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her, listen, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, until an arrow pierced his liver, like a bird darting into a snare. Listen, little knowing. Okay, we're going to keep going. We're just going to keep. Satan, look, he didn't like this. He doesn't like this. Okay, well, listen to this, Satan, right here. Because listen, little knowing it would cost him his life. Little knowing it would cost him his life. Do you know what the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned our way to our own pleasure. Listen, there's nobody exempt in here, and I'm the first one. Please don't ever think I'm the preacher, all right? I'm telling you what I go through. I'm trying to be as vulnerable and honest with you because I feel if I can get honest, possibly you'll get honest. So I know where the enemy comes and gets me in my weakness. I have to take my weakness and crucify it unto God and say, God, if your spirit doesn't come in and resurrect my weakness, I am doomed. Does that make sense to you? If God is not real, if this is just all a game, then none of this makes sense. But I'm here to tell you, when I crucify my flesh and when I allow Holy Spirit to fill me with his spirit, I'm a different person. I don't struggle with my temptations of jealousy or anger or insecurity or temptation or all of those things. I don't struggle. I don't look through the lattice to see where he is. I don't look through that lattice. I don't go to that lattice. I know where not to go. If I'm in a place and I'm feeling something coming, I've learned, get away. Tammy, walk away. If I'm in a situation and people are talking, I either ask them to change the conversation or I try to walk away. I was with my staff today. I tried to be vulnerable and honest. And I started to say something and they both looked at me and they said, what? And I said, wait a minute, I need to see if I'm supposed to say this. And the Holy Spirit said, no. I said, you know what? This isn't the time to say it. And they're like, what? What? And that's the worst setup to somebody, right? I was going to tell you something, but Holy Spirit said, I can't tell you. But not quite like that, right? But I knew in my spirit it wasn't the time to say it. And it wasn't. I know right now it wasn't. But see, I had this because I knew something they didn't know. That was the truth. I didn't know if they knew yet. Had you heard yet? Now you all are wondering, aren't you? But it doesn't matter. What matters, are you obedient to the promptings of God? Are you obedient to the promptings of God? Listen, I want to walk through these life applications with you, and I think they're so good. I want us to take a few minutes. Listen, lack of discretion will cost you everything. Lack of discretion will cost you everything. Our choices determine our outcome. The choices you make on a daily basis. I can't tell you how many people over all the years of ministry will come back to church and they'll go, I don't know how I got so far so fast. And I'll say, it really wasn't so fast. It was just one step at a time in the wrong direction. Who are you making alliances with? Now, you need to write down on your own paper, guys. You're going to get as much out of this lesson as you put into it. I mean, truth is, you're not going to remember this when you leave. If you don't write something down and go home and say, Holy Spirit, what did that mean? Why did you kind of have me say that? Or what did you mean by that? These notes are for you and Holy Spirit to wrestle with. 1 Kings 3, we talked about Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married his daughter. So let me ask you, who are you making alliances with? Who are you putting in your life because they're wealthy or cool or an advantage for you or an opportunity for you or a good friend? Let's just get honest. Who are you bringing in your life that's not a healthy person to bring in your life? Next, you must establish personal boundaries. Now, I talk a lot as a life coach when I work with people about establishing boundaries in my life. And just think of it like a personal fence. Think about, this is my backyard and this is my fence. So I have boundaries, and I like to call them non-negotiables. I have non-negotiables in my life. And you're going to talk about this in your small group. For me, non-negotiable, one is gossip. I hate gossip, and I don't like to get involved in it. And I'm really, that's one. I mean, I just don't like it. I guess because I've been talked about so much, I know what it feels like. You know? Who's laughing? And so I'm really sensitive to that, and I don't like that. And so it, to me, is a non-negotiable and a boundary. And when people come to me and want to tell me something, I'm really quick to try to say, you know, I don't know that we know all the details. I don't know enough about it. It's really not any of my business. And many of you have heard me say that. That to me is one. A non-negotiable for me is entertaining thoughts of any other men than my husband. That's a non-negotiable for me. I just don't. And I haven't, and I've trained myself not to. I mean, that just is personal non-negotiable. A non-negotiable for me is my children and my family are before the church. That's a non-negotiable I had to learn. That wasn't one I always understood. So I have personal and private non-negotiables. That means they're not up for debate. That means they're not up for discussion. They are my hard line. They're what I believe, okay? I think this is really good. So what's your non-negotiable? Solomon allowed these foreign gods to soften his conviction. See, a non-negotiable starts with a conviction. It's something you feel very strongly about, and so you're going to hold fast to it. Proverbs 2:11 says, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Discretion will protect you. I have to be discreet with who I am, where I go, what I think, what I say, who I hang with, my appearances. I have to have discretion for that. Let's go on. You cannot be friends of God and friends of the world at the same time. It is impossible. Let me show you why. James 4:4. I didn't put this in your notes, so write this down. James 4:4. This is how James says it. It's just as straightforward as he can be. You adulteress, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? I cannot love the world and love God. He goes on, he says, therefore, anyone who chooses to be friends with the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, that's strong. And you go, man, that's a little strong. Well, you know, James said it, so we'll talk to him, all right? But it's true. Because whatever, you know, Phil says this, I love to quote this, like my husband says this all the time. The gods we serve write their names on our faces. The gods we serve write their names on our faces. It could be a loved one. It could be a child. It could be a spouse. It could be a job. It could be money. It could be pride. It could be beauty. It could be sex. It could be lust. Whatever you are serving, we are seen. Whatever you are serving, we are seen. I said this last week, and I think it's so good. Many of you wrote it down. I want to say it again. He who fizzles in the finish had a flaw in his faith from the first. Solomon fizzled because he had a flaw in his faith from the first. God gave him a lot of wisdom. And let me just go on record saying this. Lest we point the finger at Solomon, praise God, my story is not in the Bible. Right? I mean, I told Phil, what do you think your story would be if it was one preachers were preaching about? And he goes, good Lord, I don't want to think about it. Okay? So, you know, we're going to meet Solomon. And he's going to be dressed. And he's, you know, so I'm not throwing Solomon in the gutter. God uses his story to teach us things, guys. And if you can look at some of my mistakes and my mess ups and I can help teach you something, that's what our story is about, isn't it? Isn't all of our story so that we can help someone not go down that road again? And I'm sure Solomon said, man, I wish I hadn't entertained foreign wives and I wish I had listened to God and I wish I hadn't done that. But if you can learn from my story, that's what I want it to do, right? May I ask you, what path are you on and where is it taking you? What path are you on and where is it taking you? And then when I wrote this one, it really hit me hard. Listen, increased power will either lead to pride or humility. See, he had lots of power. And I was praying today and I said, God, I don't know how much I can handle. Like, I don't know, like we all want to be whatever it is in your world and you want to be the best at. Mine's going to be, I wish I could be like Lisa Bevere or I, you know, whoever these people are. I want to be Beth Moore. I want to be this. And I don't know if I have it in me. I don't know how much my capacity is. And when I was praying in the park today, God, I said, only you know my capacity. But I believe I'm like a balloon. And as much as he breathes in me, I have extended capacity. He's got to give me that vision. He said, Tammy, when I'm breathing in you, I'll give you the capacity, right? So as I think about this, I thought, God, as you give me more, and I'll call it power, whatever your place of power is or ability, it will either cause you to be prideful or it will cause you to be humble. And there is a sense, I mean, I look at this ministry with women and I don't take it for granted. It is a season and a time that God's given me an opportunity for the kingdom. And in all seriousness, I pray over this. I pray over you. I pray. There is a sense of humility that I am allowed to be in this position. I don't want to ever, and the minute I start having any sense of pride in me, I want God to take me out. The proverb said, pride cometh before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Pride cometh before a fall and haughty pride come before, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Let me walk you through really quickly as we end. Steps to walk in purity. And these aren't your notes. I'm going to encourage you to take these down. Steps to walk in purity. Number one, know your personal weakness. Know your personal weakness. Know where the enemy's coming after you. If you don't know it, you will trip every time. Stay focused on God. Stay focused on God. You've got to renew your mind daily. You cannot live on yesterday's manna. That means you cannot live on yesterday's opportunity, victory, Bible verse, Bible reading experience. You can't. Just like, remember, everything physical is a picture of everything spiritual. Just like you have to physically eat every day to stay alive, you have to spiritually eat every day to stay spiritually alive. You cannot. Some of you are anorexic spiritually because you're not eating on the Word of God. Next. So good, guys. Have accountability. Be honest enough with someone that you feel safe enough with. Now, guys, I know, and this is true with women. I mean, I've told you, I don't share everything with everybody. I've got a few people that are, they care more about me. All right, they love me, and they know my secrets, and they know my temptations, and they know my vulnerabilities. And I, you know, if I'm starting to feel tempted or insecure in a certain area, I've got a couple girlfriends I can call and go, man, I'm kind of going down that road right now, and I'm feeling a little overwhelmed or angry or frustrated or whatever. Have someone you can be accountable with. Now, listen, be careful who that is, and don't just assume that until they've really been tested as your friend, are you listening to me? Because you'll set yourself up to be hurt if they're not tested and loyal as a friend, okay? Be honest with someone about your vulnerability, your weakness. Be honest with someone about that. And last, read the Word of God, not social media. And I was thinking about this because, you know, I mean, we're always on our phone. We're always scrolling. We're scrolling. And it was funny the other day. I was like scrolling. And the Holy Spirit said, when's the last time you read the scroll? You know, that's what I mean. Like, see, that's how you know it's God. He's smarter than you. Would you say that to yourself? Would you seriously ever say that to yourself? And I knew exactly what he meant, right? And I'm like, you know, yeah, I get it. I think I was looking at something Cynthia posted. All right. Are you with me? You got to read the Word of God. Now, here's the last thing we're going to do. Listen, discernment will lead to discretion. Discernment will lead to discretion. So I have to discern in my spirit what's going on here. See, here's the problem. We have to think quicker. We have to think faster. Because how many of you say to yourself, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I reacted that way. I can't believe I fell into temptation because we're not discerning quick enough. So discretion, we don't catch discretion. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's a lesson I want to give you. Where do you need to practice discretion? And here are the areas I wrote down. Your words, your mouth. Do you need discretion in what you're saying? That could be negative words, harmful words, gossip words. How about overly sensitive? Some women, sometimes we get so overly sensitive. Everybody hates us. Nobody loves us. I'm going to bake a cake. Seriously. The enemy, and before long, you're stroking. You're licking your own wounds because nobody else wants to lick them. Now, come on. Overly sensitive. The enemy loves it. If nothing else, go back and read that passage every time and think about how he's looking through the lattice for you to be overly sensitive so you can have a pity party. Anger. If you have a problem with anger and rage and your temper, the enemy loves it. So he's going to do anything he can to fuel that and feed that. Temptation. Where's your temptation? You need to know where it is. I know where mine are, and I'm not confessing to you. I don't see God on your head, all right? I have one person I confess to. I have one high priest. But he knows my temptation. Lust. And lust isn't something just men do. What are you lusting after? Let me tell you what the definition of lust is. An intense desire for something. An intense desire is a definition of lust. What about your reaction? How quickly do you react and respond to something? I do that well, that's the problem. I must have practiced that a lot. Laziness. Ooh. Do you know, and again it's in Proverbs and it talks about consider the ant. Do you know the ant works harder than some of you? That's what it says in Proverbs. For some of you, Satan loves you to sit around and do nothing but comb your hair. Look in the mirror. Fix your lip gloss. Says, yeah, I got her. Motive. What's your motive in doing and saying what you're doing and saying? Discretion. The ability to choose properly. The ability to make a right decision.